literally just wrote down what episode number this is, and I have already forgotten it, so that bodes well. Ah, 19. Welcome to season 2, episode 19 of Sour Grapes with Amy and Etta. As always, I am Amy.
And I am Etta.
And we are once again recording in the middle of a Wednesday to discuss, and I think this bodes well for us because the last time we recorded on a Wednesday, we went on a 2-game winning streak.
Ooh, I didn't realize that. I meant to look and see and forgot.
We won that Thursday regular season game against Oklahoma State.
Yeah.
And then we won the Sunday season finale against Tech.
Yeah.
And that was when Maceo went off with all of his threes. So...
so when we record on a Wednesday, we beat teams from Texas on the weekend?
Yes.
I like it.
And we also go on 2-game winning streaks. Really, we go on 3-game winning streaks because...
I like this mojo.
Yeah. Well, I mean, like, I thought about this before we made our plan to record today. I had to go through and be like, is this going to be a bad omen? No, we're good. Okay.
Have you been doing weird superstitions? My mom has not been washing her game watching outfit. And when we were doing poorly on, what was that, Monday? This week has lost all meaning of time.
I think Saturday was when
the first one though. No, the second one. Sorry. 16. Was that Monday?
Well, the Elite Eight game. Oh. Yes, Monday. But we came out to a hot start on Monday.
Right.
I wasn't stressed.
But then when things
got
a little stressful, my mom went and got her stress potato chips and was eating them. And then we started doing better. So she has already procured a new bag of stress potato chips.
Okay.
Just in case.
I approve of this. Well, I have switched up my Peloton schedule. I only did it for the first half of the Sweet 16 game. And then I just got so stressed out that I couldn't handle it.
Yeah.
And so I Pelotoned earlier in the day on Monday. Also, the game was at 9 o'clock and I just...
yeah, that's too late to work out.
Could not.
Then you're all amped up.
But I don't know what my plan is going to be for Saturday. But I'm fully accepting that I'm going to probably spend the second half on the stairs. Not watching and relying on you to send me text updates.
Well, I've got you covered.
Mm-hmm.
I will send text updates.
Sarah K. Ellis has joined me in Stair Gang also, and she has this, like, it's so hideous, I kind of love it, but she has this shirt that she puts on now that I think is also a weird superstition, and I'm...
Has she posted a picture of this shirt?
I think she posted one
the other
night.
I need to go find it.
It's amazing. So anyway, we're all going to do whatever works for us, and we're going to keep doing it.
Yes.
By the way, we're in the Final Four on Saturday for the first time since 1950. I said this the other day on Twitter, like, I'm happy, but I'm, like, not even that happy because I so badly just want to be in the national championship game and win that. And I'm having to, like...
rein it in?
Well, yeah, and also just tell myself, like, Amy, this is momentous.
Oh, yeah.
Regardless, but, like, I just want to...
so. My dad called this morning when I was driving the boys to school, and he was like, we're in the Final Four. I was like, I know, I'm so excited. I can't wait to see what happens. And he goes, enjoy it, because this doesn't happen very often.
Right.
And like, he's saying that as somebody who's been a Kansas fan since 9th grade.
Yeah.
So even if you make deep tournament runs, a Final Four is an amazing achievement.
Yeah, but I can't even enjoy it because it just feels like, I know that I said this a few weeks back and I was like, I can't really enjoy anything until the Sweet 16. And then at that point, I just feel like it's all a lot of luck and I'm just going to be happy no matter what. But it has felt like for 2 years, Baylor was deserving of being in that national championship game. And I'm, yeah. and it's so hard to strike the gold here.
Yeah.
That like, I don't want it to end.
Yeah.
I need to get a clue. I need to be thankful for what we have. I'm the worst.
Count your blessings instead.
I need to enjoy the moment. And I just can't. And I think that I am, well, we'll get into this later. What are you drinking right now at 1 o'clock on Wednesday? Oh, it's 11.
It's 11 here.
And you're drinking red wine.
I'm drinking a petite Syrah. So
yum.
Goes really well with Pop-Tarts.
I'm doing Prosecco because I felt like I needed something bubbly to celebrate the Final Four.
Oh, that's a good call.
And hopefully I will drink the rest of this bottle on Saturday. We'll see.
Yeah.
We'll see. And then I've got another really good bottle of champagne in the fridge for the national championship, if we get that far.
I can't decide if I'm going to buy something beforehand because that feels a little jinxy. But
maybe buy something on Saturday night or Sunday to celebrate just getting to the national championship.
That's a good call. I can do that.
We'll see.
That doesn't feel too jinxy.
I've definitely had something in my fridge since we won the Big 12. That has been my new thing that I've had. Like, I've had the good bottle of champagne in my fridge waiting for the national championship game. Not that I'm counting my chickens before they've hatched.
No.
But it does feel inevitable. It does feel like it has been... Like,
very Thanos, I am inevitable.
Like it should be. Well, I don't get any of these because I haven't watched the movie.
They're so good. But I know the meme.
But doesn't Thanos die?
I'm not going to tell you.
Or does he get defeated?
Well, yeah, I did. I did almost say that. Like, except. Anyway.
Well, so that Thanos can be Gonzaga, because that is the one that has truly felt inevitable, especially with their run in the tournament.
Yes.
It's also very big 2007-2008 Patriots vibes. Like I'm leaning into that. Like they went undefeated the entire NFL season and then lost to the freaking Giants and derp face Eli Manning in the Super Bowl.
Oh my gosh. I forgot about that.
I want to be the Giants.
Is he the worst quarterback to have a Super Bowl win?
I don't know. I'm going to have to go back through.
I also feel like, who was it? Was it 2004 when the Buccaneers won?
And who was the quarterback?
Johnson. Exactly. He might be the worst to win.
Yeah, I don't
know. I don't know.
But anyway, we're channeling.
This is basketball now.
We're channeling. I'm just, like, I try to. This is like a coping mechanism that I have, I guess, where I try to connect everything to some historical precedent and, like, make it come out well for the Bears. So, like, when both of our men's and women's teams were in the Elite Eight, I went to 2012, which is the last time that happened, when the men had to play eventual champions Kentucky, and they lost, and then the women went on and won. And I think the women this year played the eventual champions UConn and lost.
Yeah.
So our men must win.
I like it. I like these patterns. Especially since the women win every 7 years, and that's a pattern.
Ooh,
so,
that is a pattern.
Yeah. 05, 12, 19.
Dang, I would have liked to change that this year, but.
I know. It would have been nice.
Well, speaking of. Okay, wait. do we want to acknowledge right now the big basketball news that happened Friday of last week?
As in coaching changes?
Uh-huh.
I think we should.
Shaka Smart is going to Marquette. And he had some really good shade to throw.
Oh my gosh, he had such good shade.
And I don't even think they care. I don't even think they think that is shade. Like, I think that, like, Texas fans would acknowledge fully that they're not a basketball school program.
Yeah, probably. But I also think they're just glad to get rid of Shaka.
I know.
There's like no love lost between the two parties there. Like, he's very glad to be gone and they're very glad to see him leave.
I hate it when things like work out in a way that makes everyone happy.
I hate it when things work out in a way that make Longhorns happy.
I know. Well, I mean, like, this doesn't make my little Schadenfreude heart happy.
No.
I would have preferred that they had to pay a huge buyout to get Shaka out from under them.
Oh, that would have been nice.
But now, like, Shaka's going to a better situation. The Longhorns will get to once again throw money at someone who they are convinced will be.
That's their favorite hobby.
It's their favorite hobby.
The Longhorns are just sugar daddies.
They're Matt Gaetz.
They're looking for a sugar baby.
Maybe we'll have a coach. Maybe we'll have a coach next week. I don't know. But yeah, so they are once again. Oklahoma is looking for a coach.
Yes, because Lon Kruger is retiring.
Texas is looking for a coach.
Mm-hmm.
Is Iowa State looking for a coach? Also,
I thought they got someone.
Did they fire their guy? They got a guy?
I thought they got someone, but they did fire their guy.
I haven't really had time to concern myself with all of these things because I've been focused on Baylor basketball dominance. Yeah. So maybe that'll be my homework next week when this is all over. I haven't been able to concern myself with a lot of stuff going on in the world except for basketball. Like, I'm not interested in listening to the newsy podcast that I usually listen to. Like, I am looking solely for college basketball podcasts at this point.
I tried to listen to a sports law podcast this morning about the Supreme Court case, but I couldn't focus. It was too technical for my
legalistic 8 a.m.
for my 8 a.m. brain.
Ooh, I might. Send me the link. I might go.
I'll send you the link.
Try to exercise my little dumb brain.
I actually meant to send you a link to it because I was like, oh, sports and law. This is exactly Amy's
my wheelhouse. Alley.
Yeah. So Shaka Smart going to Marquette.
Shaka's going to Marquette. The Longhorn ladies lost their elite game last night. I didn't watch a single second of basketball yesterday because I was so exhausted from Monday. But yeah. I'm told they did not score a single point in the fourth quarter.
That is true.
But they are
the only team to ever not score in the fourth quarter.
Look at that Texas Longhorn exceptionalism. They are just setting records all over the place.
I mean, not all records are good.
But also that one idiot who was like, the Texas women's season lasted longer than the Baylor season, which was not something you would have thought you would. Dude, it's just so intellectually dishonest.
And stupid.
To say that. And also, like, how sad, because the Lady Bears played UConn, kept it within 2 points.
Close.
Were ahead. And if Dee Dee hadn't gotten hurt, it probably would be two Baylor teams in the Final Four right now.
Well, and then Geno butt-face Oriyama being like, oh, that was just great coaching on my part that led to a turnaround. Like, no, it wasn't. It was Dee Dee getting hurt. Quit trying. Yeah. I literally, if I saw him, I might punch him. Said.
I hate him. I've told you that he spoke to Todd's company several years ago,
I try not to hate people, but he has a very punchable face.
Well, and he's also apparently very dismissive of, like, the job that he does. Oh, well, women's basketball or something like that. Like, he's...
What?
He's Jackass. The first to be like, well, it's not like I'm winning this for men's basketball. It's women's basketball. So
I don't know how you choose to go play for a man like that.
Right. And Todd, you know, doesn't frequently come away from a talk like that with the opinion, like, this guy's a jerk. And he did for that one. He was not impressed by Gino at all and thought that he came off like an asshole.
Good.
And I will. But speaking of women's basketball coaches who kind of come off like an asshole, Kim freaking went full Dabo on Monday night. She unnecessarily really did.
We should just stop testing, y'all. If we would stop testing, the virus would go away. That's like, not what she said, but.
It essentially was, let's not test before the Final Four because it would suck if one of the players came up positive and then their team had to forfeit. And I am of so many different minds, and I've had this argument with myself.
I understand the point she's making.
Yep.
But the other side of me is like, okay, if you're not testing, what if someone comes into contact with you and takes it home to their elderly parent that they help care for, their immunocompromised child? To say we should not test is to speak from a position of health privilege that you don't have to worry about who you might impact. So shut your damn mouth and put your mask back on.
Yeah, and it's also speaking from a position that, like, the Final Four and the championship and the tournament all exist in a vacuum, and like nothing, like the assumption is that it's all performative and it's all just to get through these next, you know, 5 days, and not that it has potential impacts upon people and their health beyond these games. Now, on the one hand, I can see they've been in a bubble. Anyone who's at the Final Four at this point has been in a bubble for the past 2 weeks. So the likelihood of anyone testing positive after all that is slim.
Have the women's teams switched to doing PCR tests instead of antigen?
No, I think they're still doing that. Okay,
well then they need to keep testing, and they need to keep testing frequently because an antigen test has a higher false negative, and the only way it's effective at catching infection is by doing frequent tests so that you decrease the chance that a positive slips through.
Yeah. Anyway. I also think that there should be built into all of this, once we get down to four teams, I think that there should be a potential, like, escape hatch to delay things and move them.
Yeah, I agree.
Because, I mean, it would suck if one player on UConn or one coach or someone tested positive and it was just, like, over. But you don't say it, Kim. And you don't make that
the story. You're saying the quiet part out loud.
And your team just got screwed by a really shitty call that the entire nation agrees is shitty. And she's made Baylor the enemy again with that shit.
The whole focus could have been on her commentary about the foul and that drama. But instead, she opened her mouth and inserted her very lovely high heel
right into it.
And now the focus is on that. And
it sucks.
It's just like the rule, never tweet. Just shut up. You don't have to say it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And she's very much so one of those coaches who, if she is not yours, you probably have like a less than favorable view of Kim Mulkey, because what we love about her, that she speaks her mind and doesn't really care and doesn't care to be PC about things.
Yeah.
If she were not my coach, I probably would not like her. And I hate that her. She's given people more fuel for their fire.
I remember a friend saying this about a hockey player at one point, and I think it applies perfectly here, but She's an asshole, but she's our asshole. But she's
my asshole. Yep.
Yeah.
Yep. Yep.
So.
And I love her.
There goes that explicit label.
And I just want you to make better choice. Well, I'm just like, just from a public relations standpoint here, you could be the victim of the entire tournament, Kim. You and your team could be the victim of a really, really crappy call. And instead, you,
yep,
Kim, with your like mask big ol' issues. Mouth. Well, and also like the mask issues going where on. She was like, this mask is just so inconvenient and so stupid and blah, blah. Like, it's performative. It's performative, Kim. With you letting us all know how you really feel about public health measures, and it sucks.
When I was flying home on Sunday, this lady next to me, I mean, she wore her mask the whole flight. She didn't even take it down to drink, which I appreciate since she chose to sit in the middle seat where she didn't have to on a not full flight.
She wanted to be near you, man.
Whatever. She just wanted to be near the front, but that's like beside the point. But as we land, she's like adjusting her mask and she's like, I can't wait until we don't have to wear these stupid things. I'm like, if you guys would just wear them, we could be done sooner.
Right. I'm also fully on board with the idea that maybe if we're sick from now on, we should wear masks in public.
Oh, yeah. I actually had a dream last night that our school district got rid of masks because our governor has gotten rid of masks. And has said that cities can't do mask mandates, and a couple counties are like, screw you, we're doing it anyway. Which, shout out to Tucson, y'all rock. But I had like a stress dream about our school district not making the kids wear masks at school anymore, and woke up slightly panicked, and before I realized it wasn't real.
Yeah.
Anyway. I
love those dreams. Speaking of, okay, so anyway, we're very sad that the Lady Bears lost their game.
We are.
It was very exciting. It was a very good game. I also want to do a quick mini rant about the decision to have, like, the men's and women's games going on the same nights. Like, in years past,
and not it has staggered. Been,
like, right, and it has been, like, Thursday, Saturday, Friday, Sunday, men's games. Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, like women, like I feel like we've gotten a whole week of basketball all during March Madness. And then suddenly this year, everything's happening at the same time. And it sucks.
I don't like
because
it
was a fantastic game. And people who don't typically watch women's basketball would have been into that game. But at the same time, there was a freaking Houston and...
I didn't watch the Houston game.
Well, I didn't either because my Bears were playing. But
right.
You think the casual basketball fan was tuning into UConn Lady
JJ
Bears?
JJ Watt was. He was watching UConn Baylor instead
of
U of H. Yes.
Well, and I saw multiple national writers being like, look, if you're not watching this game, you're doing yourself a disservice because it is fantastic basketball, and it was.
Yes.
And it sucks that it was in
that
one
it
night.
Was an Elite Eight game.
Yes. Well, it does suck. That sucks too. Lots of things
I feel like
suck.
This entire tournament experience on the women's side has proven that
everything's
NCAA
stupid.
Women's basketball cannot pull their heads out of their own butts long enough to make any sort of coherent thought about planning, whether that is testing or weight rooms, or should we put Baylor and UConn in the same
bracket?
Region? Y'all are stupid. Like, anyway.
It's extremely disappointing. And it's extremely disappointing because essentially this is the entire women's basketball season. Because it's not like men's basketball in the sense that, like, there are several teams that are really, really good. It's,
right,
you know, eight elite teams in women's basketball, maybe.
Right.
And the idea that we're knocking out two of the best with three games to go sucks.
It is not great, Bob.
It's not great. And I also just really hate that I had to digest a women's basketball loss and then go straight into a men's Elite Eight game. It was too much.
That was a lot.
I was so tired yesterday. And I'm like, I got enough sleep, but the emotional trauma of the night killed me.
I feel like I was really glad I couldn't see Saturday's game because y'all's tweets about it were stressing me out.
Oh, frick.
And I was in the field and we were like refreshing apps to see, because I was with a Baylor geology group and we were refreshing our feeds to see how the scores were going. And I think we got to a point where there were like 4 minutes left and we were up fairly significantly, like 6 or 7. And one of the people I was with was like, this is an insurmountable lead. We're fine. It's like, okay,
no,
I'll relax.
No,
I'll trust
it's not.
You.
It never is. And
I mean, unless
me
a freak occurrence happens, it's an insurmountable lead.
So again, I think that we should only play one half because it feels like nothing that happens in the first half matters. But I am so frustrated by our inability to have a blowout. I just want to relax. I want to have one game where I'm just cackling on my couch, having a good time. Can't have it.
Yeah, I don't feel like those games don't exist in the second
in
half
the Baylor
of the
sports.
Tournament.
Well, they do if you're Gonzaga.
Yeah, that's, yeah. I it's a little shocking to me that the USC team that played Gonzaga is the same team that beat Kansas by 85, or by, they scored 85. They didn't win by 85.
Might as well be 85. It's all like dumb beyond a certain point.
Well, I mean, I provided Gonzaga with bulletin board fodder last night. So
what'd you do?
Oh, well, I said that, you know, I could be an elite basketball team as well if I were playing, I don't know, like Benicia Country Day School or Community College of Multnomah County or something like that.
Yeah.
I didn't know until this season that there was a university called Pacific.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I think I only know it because of this season, maybe.
Yeah. I mean, their gym looks almost exactly like my high school gym, right down to the wooden bleachers that roll out.
And they gave Gonzaga a scare, didn't they?
They gave them some trouble in the first half. Gonzaga pulled away pretty well in the second half, I think.
Well, okay.
I watched that game via FaceTime with my dad because I didn't get the channel it was on.
Oh. I have not watched Gonzaga at all this year.
Yeah.
I've seen highlights, and I know who Timmy is. Timmy!
Timmy!
But that's about it. So if we get to that point, and we are playing them on Monday, it will be a new experience for me. But I also kind of like that because I'm not intimidated, and I'm not like...
That's true. We're like going in blind.
Yeah,
we don't know enough to defend ourselves, but we also don't know enough to psych ourselves out.
Right. I refuse to believe that beating them is an impossible task.
Yeah.
And I refuse to believe that it's a foregone conclusion that they're the best team in basketball this year. So, let's go back really, really quickly to Monday night, which is a game that you were actually able to watch because you were home.
I was. It was wonderful.
We came out like guns a-blazing against Arkansas.
Did.
Felt really, really good. Things got sketchy in the middle, but ultimately Baylor managed to win it by like 9 points.
Yep.
We are headed to our first Final Four since 1950.
Yeah.
And you have that Maceo quote.
I do.
From after
the game. I have this quote from Maceo from the post-game presser, and it's something I have been thinking about a lot lately in terms of mentorship and leadership and how do we effectively mold people and help them and teach them. And I've been thinking about it a lot, both in terms of the Scott Drew coaching tree and his success, but also within, you know, other fields. I have a couple of advisors. They mentor in very different ways. And how does that work? What is the best? What makes a successful person in whatever field you're in? And I really feel like this quote from Maceo just nails it. And he talking about Coach Drew, he said, he truly cares about his players. He asks how you're doing. Like, he tries to get to know his players. He tries to keep that connection. He tries to pull you aside just to continue to build a rapport with you, because he knows that on the floor, the leaders on the team are an extension of him. And I actually went back, like, I was listening to it and he was speaking, and I went back and turned on the subtitles on YouTube and screenshotted it as he was talking so that I could have it written out. Because I was like, that is such a fantastic way to put it. The leaders on the team are an extension of him. The people that we pour into both become successful in their own right, but are also a reflection of the love and time and energy we put into them. And I think that's just such an important thing to think about when we are feeling drained and feeling like we have nothing left to give and questioning why we're doing what we're doing. It's that we're helping other people and we are lifting them up, and their effort becomes a reflection of us. So anyway, getting all philosophical on a Wednesday morning.
It makes me think of, I think that there's a tendency with coaching to to make it a, like, father of the family with all of my sons type deal. And I think that that is something that any coach would say, like, these are my sons, blah, 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 blah. But I think that it can be lip service a lot of the time. And I think that it can be very much so, like, you know, these are my sons while they're in my care, but after that, I don't really, like, stay connected with them, and I don't know what they're doing beyond, like, my, like, you know, if you're a parent, you're going to care about your kid.
Right.
All the time. But if you're just in it for the game and what they can do for you, then there's not necessarily anything tying you to those people beyond when they're in your purview. And, like, we are seeing this week all of these tweets from guys who formerly played for Scott Drew with the We Are Family Big 12 Champs t-shirt with all of their names. And, like,
and even Mama before the shirt. It.
Yes. He was inviting them back. He invited all of them back for the Sunday game against Texas Tech when they celebrated the championship. But, I mean, like, I also think it's significant. Like, Mamadou tweeted it.
Yes.
That's a big deal because he was, like, the guy. But, today I also saw Jonathan Davis tweeting it, and he was a walk-on. Like, he was not a scholarship player. I think he got a scholarship
Matt Salmon in
his final year. Yeah. Like, guys who were not, you know, the big deal on Baylor teams are still being included. Like, he still has their contact information. He still has their mailing addresses. Like, he is still invested in those guys. And it just really feels good to see.
It makes me think of, like, one of my favorite stories of Peyton Manning, that he would send thank you notes to, like, everyone, not just people who, I mean, that's so Southern, but not just people who did big things for him, but like little things, like he would notice them and say thank you. And I really think that having an appreciation for the things that people do that impact our lives is so important. So
it's very Ted Lasso and Nate the Great.
It is.
It's very much so like you are noticing and affirming someone who has been overlooked because they just do not work.
Yeah.
And making them part of the team and making them part of the family. And also it is smart as hell on Scott Drew's part.
Yes.
Like
because it has genuine. It helps people buy in.
Right. Right.
Yeah.
It's good PR and it's genuine. So we love to see
it. Speaking of which,
and we are
do any UT fans have anything weird to say about Scott Drew that literally has no, like, I don't even think you understand what this word means if you are using it in application to Scott Drew.
So they're still calling him sleazy.
What?
And I think it is because they just, like, genuinely cannot comprehend that someone would be kind and good.
They think it's, like, a disingenuous act?
Yes. Yes. And they think, like, his religiosity is...
It's, like, a bit.
Not genuine. Yeah. And I would really think that Ted Lasso would, like, normalize being a good person. Maybe these UT fans need to watch Ted Lasso.
I feel like that needs to be my new slogan.
Normalize being a good human. Like, just, yeah. Okay. And then they also, like, will be like, I can't ever root for Baylor because Rapler. And I'm like, that was the basketball team. And I think our friend Nick had a really good point. Like, the football team was the raping one. The basketball team was the murder. So,
yeah, if you're going to make jokes that are years old.
21 years old. Yeah.
At least get the crime right.
18, I guess. Yeah. Yeah. And also, please remember, it was an entirely different administration, coach, team, all of these things. But no, they don't do nuance very well.
It was three administrations ago, university-wide, right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Was Bobby Sloan there? Was he the president during that? Or did he come in after?
I can't remember. I think he was the president then. And then we had Lily. Lily?
Who was Lily? I don't remember Lily. Did we have somebody between Bobby and Star?
Yeah, I think that was...
I have zero memory of that.
I have someone else on my diploma. And then Star and then Linda. Anyway, it's been a long time. That's the point. And the long time just Linda. Can't let it go. Can't let it go. It's fine. They're trying to cope with their mediocrity. We all have our mechanisms. But anyway, Scott Drew is a wonderful person. Jerome Tang, wonderful person. We love that Al Brooks III is going to get to play against his dad.
Like, I love and hate it because it means that one of them must lose.
Stresses me out. But I bet the dad wants his son to have success. This is what I choose to believe.
I saw a video that... somebody in their family made shirts that have like both teams on it so they can support both of them at once.
It stresses me out.
What
do you think about playing Houston? Is Houston the 2 seed?
They're the 2 seed. Part of me is excited because these are the 2 teams I had in the Final Four on this side of the bracket. So, like, selfishly, I'm excited. I want us to just absolutely demolish them so that we can shut Dana Holgorsen up because he's a freaking idiot.
What a bitch.
Like, he wants the smoke for sure. I'm okay with it. I keep seeing people be like, oh, fly slam a jam. Dude, that was like before I was born and I'm 36. So
that was, so LJ Rose, former Baylor player's dad, played for that team for Houston, right?
Right.
Right.
Yeah.
Like cool.
We have a Hakeem Olajuwon ball because my husband grew up in Houston.
Yeah.
Which makes it ironic that he was trying to troll me and be like, Shaq was on Phi Slamma Jamma. I'm like, dude, one, I know that's wrong.
You know that he went to LSU.
I'm an LSU fan. I grew up an LSU fan. Like, I know this. Shaq Attack Pepsi commercials. Like, this is stupid. Don't make this joke. But yeah, I'm not overly worried about it, but I also haven't really watched too many Houston games.
I haven't watched their games. What I hate is that I am likely to encounter a U of H fan in the wild, like in my everyday life.
I encounter a U of H fan in my not daily life, but semi-weekly life, because around the corner from us, there's like a local, it looks like a tiny gas station, a bodega.
Oh, it's a bodega. He's your beer guy, right?
Yeah, my beer guy is a U of H grad.
My mom went to Baylor.
He's a U of H grad, right? And his whole family went to Baylor. Like his brothers went to Baylor. He went to U of H. I think his son went to U of H. So we have like a friendly banter going on about basketball. So I'm going to have to go in and visit Ray in my Baylor shirt this week.
Only if we win. Otherwise, you've got to avoid that.
Oh, no, I'm going in before so that we can talk some smack.
I don't want to lose to U of H. That will be traumatic for me. So it just can't happen. Just can't happen.
I'd rather lose to U of H than a directional state school.
No. No.
Really?
I don't want the like, oh, best in Texas.
Oh, that's true.
Bullshit.
Yeah. Fortunately, I don't live in Texas anymore, so.
I don't want anything to do with it. I just need us to win. And then also, like, we are so close to the championship game. If we lose on Saturday, it's just going to break my heart, no matter what.
That's true. That is true. Is the game at a normal time this weekend?
Well, you know, 4:14 p.m. 4:15. I make plans with people on the 14th minute of the hour frequently. You know, I mean, hey, do we want to make a reservation for dinner? No, we're going to make it at 7:14.
Our appointment to meet together today at 32 minutes after the hour. So it's totally normal.
Maybe we should normalize this. Maybe we should normalize like
batshit insane times.
Non-15-minute increment.
Non-5-minute increments.
Yeah.
I just don't understand the point because, like, the Gonzaga-UCLA game is also at a super weird time. It's at, it's at 7:34 Central.
Well, how about 8:57 p.m. for a...
Yeah, that too.
Tip-off. Like,
I don't understand.
There are so many things that have been dumb. There are so many things that have been dumb. Can we get into NCAA dumbness?
Yes. To wind this up. I love NC2A dumbness. In fact, I chose my shirt based on it today.
She's wearing a Ladies of SCOTUS shirt in honor of the NCAA versus Alston oral arguments.
It says Sandra and Ruth and Elena and Sonia. So
R.I.P. Ruth.
We love you. Anyway.
Have you watched the arguments? Did you listen to them? Or did you just see tweets in real time?
I've just been following tweets about it.
Yeah. But
like purely the fact that Clarence Thomas asked a question
is huge.
I mean, that might be the first question he's asked in my life.
is like, is his wife part of some lobbying group that is against the NCAA that we didn't know about before now?
Oh, is she? I missed
that. No, I don't think she is. She's involved in all kinds of other right-wing causes, but the deterioration of the NCAA is not one that I am aware of, which is why it's extra shocking that he
I just felt like
GAF today.
Like the pure fact that
he was not happy.
Nameless but recently appointed male Supreme Court justices are against this. Like, they're all against it. All of them. When does that happen? When does it ever happen that all of them...
Are they against it? Are they against it? Or are they asking challenging questions in order to provide, like, cover for them when they inevitably...
Yeah, that's a good point. I guess it remains to be seen how they will vote. But their questions are very much...
pointed.
What would you say you do here?
Yeah. And it's interesting also that these oral arguments are literally taking place in the middle of March Madness. When we have seen the BS of the past few weeks.
If the NC2A were the Triangle Shirt Company, the name, image, and likeness, and maintain amateurism rules would be the locks on the doors to keep the workers in a fire.
Yeah. So I think that what is interesting about this lawsuit is that you would think. So the differentiator between this one and the name, image, and likeness suits is that this one is dealing with, like, how much schools can directly compensate athletes. And it's saying that, like, there's a whole antitrust issue because if everyone agrees that we can only compensate this much, then it creates an unfair environment for students. And they are not the ones who are reaping rewards. And if schools are limited by what they can pay athletes for, like, an aid stipend, but they can go and pay coaches whatever they want, then, like, literally it is everyone else benefits but the athletes. Whereas the name, image, and likeness stuff is, it's saying that athletes should be able to go make money from third parties.
Right.
And if I am the NCAA, I think that I would say, like, yes, athletes, you can go and make whatever money you want from, like, a sponsor on Instagram and stuff like that, because that seems much less harmful to the NCAA structure. But as I understand it, the NCAA is kind of, like, waiting to see how this case goes.
Yeah.
Before they decide how to implement name, image, and likeness stuff.
So I think the one thing that just, like, drives me nuts is that I constantly see people be like, well, you know, they're getting a scholarship that provides for them to go to school. I'm like, okay, well, what if I earned an academic full ride scholarship? That's still a full ride scholarship, but I have the option to have a side job that helps pay bills or, you know, makes it so that my family can afford to fly to see me play, or makes it so I can help out with bills at home and I don't have to worry about that. Makes it so I can have meals on the weekend if the athlete dining facility is closed, because not everybody has parents who can give them money to help with things. And the parallels to grad students here are real similar, because, I mean, I get a tuition remission, I get a stipend, I'm not allowed to have a job on the side. It works okay for me because I have a spouse who has a good paying job. But what if I were a grad student?
Are you allowed, though, to have an Instagram account that's like geology girl and you get compensated for making videos or doing, like, I love this tool for when I'm out in the field and so we'll, like,
I think can you do pure, that? Pure letter of the law, I'm probably not allowed to do that. I don't think anyone would come after me for it if it weren't taking away from my time in completing my studies and my work.
Or even, but like, to differentiate, are you allowed to have an Instagram account that has nothing to do with geology?
I am allowed to have an Instagram account that has nothing to do with geology and I don't get paid for.
Could you have one that was like sports with Etta and you go and do like sponsorships or?
I think technically speaking, no.
Oh. Because I think that. Like,
I mean, I don't think that my department would come after me for it as long as I was fulfilling my responsibilities. But technically speaking, I am not allowed to have side employment.
Interesting.
Like, they could come after me legally if they wanted to.
Because the normal college student is very much so, like Brooklyn and Bailey. They are allowed to have an Instagram account and a YouTube channel that they monetize.
Yeah.
While being full-time.
You can get eyelashes like Brooklyn and Bailey.
Right, right. And that is, like, that's the big issue with.
But you can't get a tattoo like Terrell Pryor.
Right. And you can't, if you're Jared Butler and you want to be like, hey, this, love this water company or love this backpack, like, you can't get paid for that.
Here's my pre-workout.
Even if it has nothing to do with basketball. Right. And additionally, if Jared Butler or Macy O'Teague or Davion Mitchell had a full ride scholarship to Baylor, I think that they would still technically have to take up a Baylor basketball scholarship. And they would still be held to the NCAA rules, even if they had like had test scores and grades coming out of high school that qualified them for a full ride scholarship. Even if they were like
a savant.
Yeah.
Yeah. If they were,
it also sucks that Baylor would have to waste a scholarship on that because they are guys.
If they were a national merit scholar,
right, right, that's
it wouldn't count. Well, and I mean, going back decades here,
and they would still be bound by that crap.
But yeah, but remember that was it? Jeremy Bloom was a professional skier, and he was going to play for Colorado football, and wasn't allowed to because he had sponsorship deals in a totally different sport.
That sucks. Like, that's like just
a sport that doesn't have an NC2A presence. He wasn't allowed to play football, I think, as a walk-on, not even a scholarship athlete, because he had sponsorship deals in a different sport.
Well, and it also all goes back to, like, Silas Masita. He was a walk-on. He was not under scholarship, but he got punished for receiving, like, the benefit of sleeping on someone's couch.
Man.
It's all stupid.
If so you are going to penalize someone for letting someone sleep on your couch and have a roof over their head rather than be homeless...
Someone who isn't on scholarship.
Screw you, dude. Like,
yeah.
I can't.
I think
we're losing sight of our humanity.
I think those kinds of stories are the ones that, like, should be
center
in the minds.
The coach at Mary Harden Baylor get in trouble for letting a kid use his car?
Probably.
I think they had to vacate a championship or something.
Yeah.
Because the head coach lent his car to someone.
Probably.
It's so stupid.
I think, and also, like, just to, like, pull this all back to the current case, like, It would potentially, I mean, it would be harmful to small schools for Alston to win this case because it's premised upon the idea that, like, by requiring every school to offer the same benefits, like, you create an unfair competitive environment for athletes, but also, like, you create a fair environment for smaller schools or schools with, like, smaller athletic department budgets, and the Texases and the Ohio States and the Alabamas of the world would come out on top if Alston wins this, because they would be, the potential outcome would be they could offer huge stipends to their athletes, so everyone would want to play for them, blah, 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 blah.
What if we just limit the number of scholarship athletes? I mean, well, the NFL is limited to a 53-man roster.
Well, and that's already, like, and that's already a limit, and that, I'm not sure that that, like, scholarship number limit would be impacted by this. I think it would be more, like, literally, like, what your stipend is every year, because they do get a stipend. Yeah. And so that would be a way to maintain some sense of, you know, competitive normalcy. But again, like, what if the broader outcome is just that we all decide that the NCAA is a failed state and
not acting in good faith?
Yeah. I don't know. I don't know what's going to happen. I do have to go pick up Sam in like 5 minutes.
Yay!
So what do we want to talk about?
I feel like we have covered a lot of ground.
Yeah.
We play Saturday.
4:14.
4:14 Central Time.
If you're 4:15, you're late.
Yeah, you're going to miss tip-off at 4:15.
Do you have a guess? Do you have a guess who's going to be playing in the championship on Monday night?
I think it will be Baylor Gonzaga.
Lord, hear our prayer.
Yeah. But part of me, I love everybody being like, I love seeing a number 11 in the Final Four. I'm like, it's UCLA. They're literally a blue blood. John Wooden was their coach for forever.
He has awards named after him for college basketball.
Yeah. It would be like if we were like, oh my gosh, Kansas made the Final Four. How precious. Their second basketball coach was literally James Naismith.
Yeah.
Anyway. Yeah, this weekend, Saturday, 4:14 Central. We're going to cheer on our boys, men. Oh, Amy's looking at me very expectantly, and I have nothing else to give.
We hope that we have one more podcast to record. I hope that we get to, I don't know, do we want to try to record on Sunday?
Like an in between, if we make
the championship or do game, we want?
Let's see how much mirth is out there. So I'm down. We'll put it out there. We'll see what happens.
Or we'll record after we're national champions.
Yeah,
I'm not recording if we lose on Tuesday.
I'm making her record if we lose because the boys deserve a send off.
It would make a nice round 20 for season 2.
It would.
I don't know. I think I'll be too depressed.
You won't be depressed.
If you are trying to go to the Final Four or National Championship game, I think that maybe you get in touch with the Baylor Bear Foundation.
Yes.
Or a third party
source. I know there are other people going. I know Shannon Layerly is going. I saw that. Find people, hook up, socially distanced, of course.
It's Todd's 37th birthday on Saturday. Yell, kill him.
Oh, yeah. John's 38th is on Sunday.
Oh, Easter.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Sunday's Easter. Yeah. I don't know. Okay. Sick'em Bears.
Yeah.
Hopefully the next time we talk, we are either in the national championship game or national champions.
Yeah. Anyway. Be excellent to each other.
Yeah. Okay. Sick and Bears, love you all. The end.